This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley, who is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and more for the listening area. How are you on this stormy Friday?
Well, it is stormy, and I'm watching a storm roll into the area as we speak. So just, I guess, you know, anymore in Arkansas, in your vehicle, you should have an ice pick and an umbrella and a wind poncho, just be prepared for anything on any given day.
That's pretty good advice, actually. let's talk about a tax report that came out, I believe, last night, the Fort Smith tax revenue report for March. It's actually some good news for the city.
Yes, thankfully. 8% increase, a little over 8% increase on the city 1 cent, both of the city 1 cent sales tax and on the countywide, the city's collection of the countywide tax. Yes, we had four consecutive months of declines, and you know, they were steep declines, and such that city administrators asked all the department heads for a 4% across the board cuts. You know, find 4% you can cut in your department, and I think they're still going to go forward on that just out of caution. But I think what we're seeing also, Kyle, and we're seeing this in other numbers. You know, there was some disruption this year in terms of income tax filings and income tax refunds. And I think we're going to see those scattered, because if you look back at some of the Fort Smith numbers, often we would see in the January and February reports some increases. A lot of that would be tied to people getting the refund back and going out and buying that television or whatever. But we haven't seen that so much in January, but maybe we saw that 8% increase, which is an unusual increase in Fort Smith. Maybe that was part of that, but it is welcome news. Maybe if they can string a few more months of that together, it could take some pressure off the budget.
Well, speaking of upward trends in returns, the Northwest Arkansas hospitality numbers continue to perhaps not boggle the mind, but certainly impress.
Well, it is impressive, and it's impressive across the board. You know, this may be a little unfair to the folks in Bentonville, but it's almost, you know, we're not impressed anymore when Bentonville continues to have big numbers with the growth in their tourism in that area, but they continue to lead. But we're also seeing good numbers in Springdale and Rogers and Fayetteville. It just speaks to the overall strength of that market. Of course, in the Northwest Arkansas, probably more of that is business travel than tourism travel. But nevertheless, I mean, the Met Travel Research shows increase in the number of room nights that are occupied. Now, the room rate's gone up, but overall, you know, that business and tourism travel in Northwest Arkansas, that is a healthy, healthy segment of the economy. Whatever they're doing up there, they just need to keep doing more of it.
Well, part of it is called Norman Rockwell, I think.
Well, yeah, Crystal Bridge is.
Right.
and also, the small part of it, look at the crowds that you've had at some of the local, at the Razorback and home games there.
Well,
huge crowds, and that's got to play into it somewhat.
Yes, Jeff Long, who's the athletic director, of course, for the University of Arkansas, tweeted out last weekend after the Red-White football game, a Razorback softball game, and a Razorback baseball game all on one Saturday. I think the total attendance of the three events was something like 60,000. No, even more than that. Now, some of those people double-dipped and went to more than one event, but still, that has to reflect in restaurant and hotel returns as well.
Absolutely. I mean, any community would love to have 60,000 people pop in and out, even if they're local folks. I mean, local folks, you could have somebody live right across the road from the stadium. You get that many people together, and they're more inclined to hit the restaurants and bars and that type of thing. So, yeah, that absolutely does not hurt.
One of the most intriguing canvases in the entire region is downtown Fort Smith at the West End. Seems to be all sorts of potential, of course, all kinds of history. This week, a plan for what the West End might look like in the future.
Yes, Richard Griffin and his son Rick Griffin, with Griffin Properties, who have, they're one of the few developers who've put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, in terms of having an interest in renovating and rejuvenating downtown Fort Smith. But they're taking several blocks, converting the old buildings, retaining the facade, and trying to return it to some of the historic look, creating retail fronts, apartments, more of that urban living type space in downtown Fort Smith. You know, it's a little over, not counting the cost of the land, of course, but the project is probably going to be closer to $4 million, but another good investment in downtown Fort Smith. You remember the Griffin folks? They're the ones who put that Garrison Point Cafe. It's kind of a convenience store, small grocery store, restaurant. Because up until then, there was nothing like that. There was nothing nice that you could just go and get, you know, a quick coffee or a sandwich or something in downtown Fort Smith. I mean, there are restaurants down there, but just for the drop-in, drop-out, the quick convenience, there was nothing there. So they've been very influential. And, of course, just last night, the Fort Smith Convention Visitors Bureau, they had their Grit Awards. They right. They named the Griffin family as the I've just gone blank on the title, but they recognized their support of downtown Fort Smith.
And now, speaking of the future, the Aquatics Park is still in the future. In fact, it's very much in the future.
Well, yeah, this seems like just about the time we've got this thing figured out, we don't have it figured out. You know, it was the funding for a long time was, you know, is it going to get funded? Is it going to get funded to the level necessary to build it out fully? We still don't know that. Excuse me, we finally got the county on board. Now the city and county saying, well, it's not going to be Memorial Day 2014. It's going to be Memorial Day 2015. So it's a full year, and they blame it on the cycle. I mean, obviously, a water park, you can't open it in the winter.
No.
But so just another, you know, if they'd have had their ducks in a row on the funding, like they kind of thought, we thought they did when they were supposed to, they could already be moving forward on design and construction and getting this thing open in 2014. But nope, you just couldn't pull it off.
Are you, how confident are you that we'll see it in 2015?
Kyle, I have no confidence. Okay. I mean, it's, and I don't mean, and I'm not trying to be cynical or mean-spirited. It's just, anything can happen with this project, and almost everything has happened with this project. I just soon try to bet on who's going to be the next Super Bowl champion than to try to bet on when this thing's going to happen.
Okay, I'm going to give you some help. It's not going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
Michael Tilley is the editor, publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, culture, and more. Please drive safely. Talk to you next Friday.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night beginning at 10 p.m. On this Friday edition of Shades of Jazz, I will feature some new music from some great jazz female vocalists, Nancy Harms, Gia Noche. We'll also hear from Havana Carbo, plus some great jazz instrumentalists like Charles Lloyd and Chick Corea, and some Benny Green. That's Shades of Jazz, Friday night at 10 p.m.